Get up in the evening feeling like Craig Thompson. Grab my laptop, set up my mic, I'm gonna rant and rave some. Before I record, grab a glass of Coke and Jack. Cause when we begin recording, I know I'm not refilling that. Talking, previewing all the games, analyzing stats and plays, laughing, poking fun at names. Jeremy reads and quotes Phil Steele's zine, pulling up numbers and reads, starting to get a bit off topic, see? What? Don't stop, make it hot, yell about the games not. Chris will start a fight about the rankings tonight. Mountain West Connection and the hot takes don't stop now. Whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa, 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 whoa. Don't stop, make it hot, yell about the takes not. Chris will start a fight about the rankings tonight. Mountain West Connection and the hot takes don't stop now. Whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa, 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 whoa. We're biased against your team, and we make that clear. Don't get paid, don't ever fade, cause we're already here. Talk about hoops and football, cause we got all the swagger. Sometimes guests come on the show, but we never have Mick Jagger. All the writers cramping up, Matt's throwing his arms up, Kyle's got all the funny stuff. We go until SBN shuts us down, or the Mountain West hunts us down. Mountain West shuts us down, nobody's gonna shut us down. Don't stop, make it hot, yell about the takes not. Chris will start a fight about the rankings tonight. Mountain West Connection and the hot takes don't stop now. Whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa, 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 whoa. Don't stop, make it hot, yell about the takes not. Chris will start a fight about the rankings tonight. Mountain West Connection and the hot takes don't stop now. Whoa, 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 whoa.
All right, welcome back to the Mountain West Connection show here. Check us out at mwcconnection.com. Now with t-shirts. Twitter, MWC Connection. Facebook, you know the drill, Mountain West Connection. Jeremy Moss here hanging out with Chris Andres. And did I mention t-shirts again? Do we have shirts now? T-shirts. Yes, no?
T-shirts, yes. T-shirts. All t-shirts.
The quarterback is alive.
It really is.
Yeah, check it out. Have fun with it. Christmas is coming around the corner, folks.
Seriously.
No, check them out. And again, really quick, if you make a design, we'll give you a free shirt too. So get those Photoshop skills working.
No. Let's specify. If you may have an idea or make a design that we like.
That's what I meant. If it gets approved.
With legal team.
Yeah. If it has to be approved. So that's the thing too. Like, that's what I meant.
Somebody stated in the comments last week how UNLV New Mexico was the toilet bowl game.
Yeah.
And I actually did a mock-up for that shirt, and I think it looks really funny. So that might be the next shirt is the Mountain West Toilet Bowl Classic.
Yeah, we don't have to put the teams on there because the turnaround time is not quick enough, but we could always have that shirt in the closet so when there's a pair of 0-8 teams squaring off, you can bust out that shirt, right?
Exactly.
There you go. It's classic. So, yeah, any ideas? Real quick, you cannot put any school official names on there, like New Mexico Lobos, but it's a state, so you can put New Mexico or Boise, San Diego. Not San Diego State, but San Diego. Yeah. Stuff like that you can do, so send them our way.
Our Wyoming guy, Kyle, actually created a shirt for himself that we still might use that said Wyoming, where football's important, but where education's important, but football is important.
Yes, that could be a good one. So it's going to be a trademark thing. So I think we should actually do a football Bob maybe, but before we take, assuming he stays around for a couple years.
Oh, God, yeah.
How did you not think of that the first go around?
I did think of that the first go around, and then I tried to make a drawing, and legal said we couldn't use it, remember?
Well, then don't use the picture. Just do the name, Football Bob. Football Bob.
Fine.
Here's the thing. Sounders of Heart, who's a very good Seattle – your soccer team in Seattle there, they do a good job with shirts, and it could be just an inside joke, like off-topic or something for our podcast we'll do soon for another shirt. So.
No. Yeah, and that's – actually, if you look at all our shirt designs, they're all kind of sort of jokes that come straight from the block.
Yeah, the quarterback, classic. All right, so let's get going here. Week 11 recap. I recall when we did our preview show, and I kind of – every time you say this, something's weird's going to happen. Like, oh, these games are – The slate wasn't overly inspiring, I should say. Well, I mean, Utah State, I was intrigued about. San Jose State, Fresno, but the other games, Idaho, San Diego State. Come on, really?
Yeah, right.
We had a lot of intrigue this weekend. So let's get down to it. Wyoming hosted Utah State in almost a snowfall game. Almost. There was some rainfall throughout the game and some brisk winds.
Did you know that there was only one offensive touchdown in this game?
Yeah. I was gone, so I wasn't in the open thread or anything. I only watched the first half of this game, really, because I saw the final score. I'm like, okay. When I saw it was 17-3 at the half, I'm like, I'm done with this. I'll look at the box score and highlights. I had other things to do, so. But I checked what happened the first half intently. Second half, I kind of, you know how we do. We can't watch every game. We do a few things. But, yeah, Utah State made big plays. Wyoming did not. But the two turnovers and the special teams play was the difference, and the Aggies' offense wasn't really that good.
So, and I mean, it stalled for a multitude of reasons. My whole thing was if you checked out my tweets throughout the whole game, a consistent thing with me was Tanner Gentry. At least two or three times, Colby Kirkgaard went deep to Tanner Gentry, and he couldn't pull down passes that were sure touchdowns.
Was that with – I think I saw one of those in the first half. Was that due, do you think, to the rain and wind? Because it was pretty windy.
No, there were two of them. Literally, they were drops.
Oh, okay. That's right. I remember the one.
Nobody – I mean, people were around him, but it wasn't something like there was so much pressure on him. So, Tanner Gentry – I mean, you could look at his stats, only one reception for 10 yards. That could have been easily three receptions for, 57 yards and two touchdowns.
So, he would be able to do something. Yeah. Brian Hill had a good job for Wyoming. Third straight 100 rushing yard game, no touchdowns.
Hill kept Wyoming alive.
Yeah.
He kept Wyoming's offensive hopes alive because – Sorry, Colby Kirkgaard, when you're 20 for 40, 212 yards, and two interceptions, that's not going to cut it. And I know some of those were drops. But you can't be thrown 50% and hope to win against Utah State, who's easily the best defense in the Mountain West.
Yeah, easily, after seeing the Boise State massacre late on the next day. But, yeah, the Utah State, that's what I'm wondering. This game, special teams, that JoJo Natson, or now I was referred in the comments, Breeze, I kept saying Bruce because it's Bruce Nat. His name's real name's Bruce Natson.
Good night, Bruce.
Yes, thank you. Him and Hunter Sharp, they had big, both of them were the playmakers. Natson had both touchdowns, that 66-yarder untouched, and on the punt return untouched as well. Or was that a kickoff return? No, punt
it
return.
It was a kickoff.
No, it was a punt return right here. No, 80 yards. That's pretty impressive. Yeah. Punt returns are tough to get. Kick returns? A little bit easier, but punt returns are quite difficult to get a lot of yardage on. And he made
it funny because after that punt return that he scored for the touchdown, he could not breathe.
Hey, man, you're at 77-20
on the sideline. I mean, that shows your height advantage in Wyoming right there.
Well, the crazy thing is, playing in Logan, Utah, you're still above, 4,000 feet? Almost 5,000? Not quite 5,000, but well above, between 4,000 and 5,000 feet.
That's still another 2,000. That's still another 2,500 feet.
Oh, it is, but that's not like you're coming from San Diego or Albuquerque.
I'm just saying, play this game in Logan, Utah. Natson would not be collapsing on the sidelines.
Of course not.
For air.
Of course not. And there's still a lot of concerns because I still think when Utah State plays Boise State, that'll be a really good game because of defense. But the Aggies' offense needs to step it up. 2 for 12 on third down is not very good. They were outgained by Wyoming, and somebody pointed that out as to why, I think it was Jason Kirk in the bowl projections, why he put Boise in there, which still makes sense for the Fiesta Bowl. They have the edge anyways because if they went out, they're good to go. But he's like, well, Wyoming outgained Utah State. Yes, but when you look into the short fields they had, the punt return for touchdown, and then the 38-yard interception that was returned, 38 total yards, and two total, they had some short fields to work with. So there's a little bit of that kind of misleading stats. And then
but Wyoming controlled time of possession throughout the whole game as well.
Well, sure. If you think about it, if you score a punt return, if you have short fields, that's going to lend you at minimum. Just look at the punt return, because that takes away, who knows, 4 minutes, 6 minutes, 8 minutes.
No, but besides all that, Wyoming's pace is one of the slowest paces probably in the nation.
Yeah, that's their plan. That's what they want to do.
They slowed it down. And slowing down your offense effectively slowed down Utah State's offense in a way, except for that 66-yard run and that punt return. Utah State really couldn't get much done.
Second half, they couldn't do anything. Or actually, even overall, yeah, overall they couldn't really. Because look what Joe Hill did. He only had 5 carries, but looks like LaJuan Hunt's a starter. He did okay, 11 for 65 in that 32-yarder, but that's nothing overly – It's good that your true freshman
gets I remember correctly, it was that DeShane Hines interception which led to the field goal.
Yeah, he had I'm not sure. That was a third.
No, it wasn't. It was the B.J. Larson.
B.J. Larson. Yeah. But, yeah, second half, Wyoming did their job and stopped it. And Kent Myers, he did what he's supposed to do, 13 and 16, 150. He's accurate. He threw – They did allow him to throw a little bit more downfield, but not as much. But he throws rockets, man. He rifles that ball.
Yeah, that's one thing. That's one thing that Matt Wells is going to have to work on next year with Myers, if he's still going to use Myers instead of Harrison.
That will be – not Harrison. Garrington. And who knows, maybe – I doubt Tricky Keaton's back, but there's a possibility. But I think he's done, unfortunately.
But
overall, Utah State got the win. They are – here's the thing. They're still 7-3 of a shot to win the Mountain West or the Mountain Division.
Right.
They need to beat Boise State.
And could you imagine what would we be talking about if Utah State had done their job and beat Arkansas State?
It wouldn't matter. They still wouldn't be in contention for the. It'd be the same situation Colorado State said.
Right, but the game would definitely come down. I mean, the game would definitely come down to that final game, November 29th. I'm not talking about a conference championship. I'm talking about
10-3, 11-2 Boise, 10-3, 10-2 teams squaring off for the title game, probably both ranked.
Well, not just for the both ranked, but I'm talking, you know, in terms of Group of Five Big Money Bowl.
Or actually 11-2. Well, but remember, Colorado State beat Utah State.
Oh, right. Yeah, well, that's where their only loss comes in.
So it's still for not.
Oh, it's head-to-head, right?
Yeah, it's still head-to-head. So the Aggies need to – Aggies – to beat Boise State, who knows? Their defense is good enough. I'm not going to rule it out. You need to give LaJuan Hunt a couple more games running the ball. Kent Myers maybe to open up the offense a bit. He seems to be finding Hunter Sharp, 5 for 79, to do a few things. So Aggies – that last game, it could be because Aggies played 13 – they play 13 regular season games. So they could be 10-3 versus a 10-2 Boise team for the – the last weekend of the season.
And let's see how triple option team this year. Let's see how they face against the other triple option team this Saturday.
Yeah, they handled Air Force fine. It comes down to CSU and Utah State and Boise. They're the best teams by far. They're the three. I don't know. Has the underdog, we are recording this on Monday, the recap, has that underdog poll been published yet? I don't think so.
No, not yet.
I probably should have put Utah State higher, but their offense still a lot of question marks for me. But their defense, these three teams could be the three best teams out of all, Utah State, Boise State, CSU. Marshall's pretty good. Georgia Southern's good.
I'm just going with this right now. So far, Kent Myers is the most accurate passer from what we've seen from him from all the passing stats. He's much more accurate than, you know, Chuck Keaton was this year when he was playing in Daryl Garrettson. But by far, you know, who knows if he could take that up? Unfortunately, here's the problem. He's averaging about 10.5 yards per attempt, while Garrettson had – I feel like he got the opportunity to pass the ball a lot more when he was in the starting slot.
Well, here's the thing, though. This guy, Kent Myers, was not supposed to see the field. He got zero reps. I doubt he got more than 5 reps a week when Chucky Keaton was a starter. He's a 4-string quarterback. He's probably got no reps. Kent Myers is probably running the scout team for that team. So that's the only reps he's getting, replicating the other team. And so when Chucky goes out, you got Garrettson in there, he probably got 5 reps a week as a third string quarterback. If that, so the past 2 weeks, maybe heading into the Colorado State game, he probably got a few more carries. He's had limited time to work with these starters. And so with them playing to Mexico and they also have Air Force, plenty of time to get going, and that'll be
just right, San Jose State.
Oh, sorry, San Jose State, yeah. Once they get going against those guys, or gets playing time, gets more comfortable, they'll let him throw downfield. Garrison was in the system. Head coach Matt Wells knows what he has with him. Myers, he's still being very cautious in allowing him to throw the ball downfield. And when they play, I'm assuming they'll win out, when they play Boise State, Boise has some really good defensive back guys. Everybody back there has so many interceptions with Jeremy Iona and everybody. They'll need to challenge downfield at least a little bit to keep them on. Garrett Slants is not going to get it done.
Right.
So, but this game, what do you like? Wyoming played well. Wyoming, do you still think they have a shot at bowl game? They're 4-6. They got to win their last two.
They got to win their last two. One of those is against Boise State.
Never mind.
Yeah.
5 wins is still good for them.
I think our bowling puns are over for the year.
Unfortunate. Okay. So let's move on.
I think they'll go 5-7, though.
Mexico, maybe.
I'm not really sure anymore.
The Boise State game and the Mexico game, but I remember multiple people kept telling us the Mexico offense is boring. That offense is far from boring, folks. I don't care if this game they scored 49 points, but their offense is not boring.
Are we going to the Boise State?
No, we're going in order. I'm just saying that because Wyoming plays New Mexico, and that'll be a battle of will on the lines, I think. But Utah State, do you think they – do you think it'd be crazy if they go to the Fiesta Bowl somehow?
I don't think so. I think
nothing would surprise you.
Huh?
Nothing would surprise you at this point.
Well, nothing would surprise me at this point, but I think just 3 losses, and really two of those losses. One of those losses shouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
We talked about the Arkansas State game. The Colorado State game is debatable, but I don't think even if they won out, somehow managed to get to the conference title game and win the conference, I don't think they'd be going to the Fiesta Bowl.
I think the Mountain West champs getting into that big money bowl game, assuming Marshall loses one more game, regardless of who the champion is. Assuming it has to be Nevada, Utah State, Colorado State.
We just saw the polls. We didn't get to talk about it, but Colorado State is ranked. They're only 2 spots behind Marshall in AP poll and 4 spots behind Marshall and the coaches.
Yeah.
Even if Marshall keeps on winning, I think Colorado State's power, strength of schedule, and overall wins, I think that might be enough to pass Marshall. And those
doesn't matter.
College football playoff poll comes tomorrow, and they might have Colorado State ranked and Marshall not.
Possibly.
And that's what matters.
Possibly, yeah. So let's move on next game. Air Force UNLV. It looks like I saw visual evidence you were in attendance of this game.
Yes.
Were you there for the full 60 minutes?
I was.
All right. So I didn't really watch this game too much because the stream wasn't working properly for me, so I didn't get a chance to see too much. And I didn't read too much because I was busy yesterday. Sorry, folks. I got other stuff going on. But was there a quarterback injury, or did Decker finally get benched for this Jared Leblotz guy?
Decker went down.
Leblotz. He went down. Okay.
Decker went down. Leibowitz came in. And actually, even after Leibowitz left, Troy Hawthorne, who was, I think, listed as
He's listed as a defensive back here on what I'm looking at.
Right?
Yeah. Okay. It is ESPN. He's throwing a handful of throws.
No. You know what? He's kicker. Or placeholder. That's what he is.
Okay. And he's happened to. Okay. So, Air Force defense strikes again, from what I can tell. Shaquille Maury Lawrence got slammed, had a long of 4 yards. This is almost a Jerome Bettis like. Sorry, it looks like I muted myself. Did you catch that?
Yeah. Somehow you went on a cassette tape repeat.
That was weird. I didn't hit the mute. All I'm saying is Shaquille Maury Lawrence didn't do too well. Air Force's defense held the rushing game in check.
Even held the passing game in check for a certain amount of time.
300 yards. That's for them. That's fine. I would gladly give up, if I'm an Air Force defensive coordinator, gladly give up 300 yards and 50% passing. Not ideal, but what their defensive backs have been, you'll deal with it.
Yeah, and really that 50% passing really only came from Jared Leibowitz.
No, he went 3-12, pal. Terrible.
I know, but as total, I mean, the team went 22-45. Yeah. Zachary was 18-32.
Not too bad. Yeah, it looked pretty good, actually. 263, 18-32 before going down with the TD. Granted, the game wasn't close, but for him, that's improvement. And, geez, Air Force just
– they kept him close. With Decker in there, the game was kept within striking distance.
When did he leave the game?
He left the game early third quarter.
But they're down 31-14 at the half. That's not close.
I'm sorry. No. No, he had scored the touchdown, so it was 38-21 by that point.
Okay.
So halfway through the third quarter.
Okay. And we did see you mentioned Devontae Davis sighting.
Yeah.
And Devontae Boyd.
Devontae Davis, 6 receptions, 114 yards. Where have we seen that before?
Every week he plays when he's healthy, almost.
He's back, everybody.
It doesn't matter. Rebels are 2-8. All I can say, Eric, again, UNLV's defense is terrible. They allowed 24 unanswered points, and that was the ball game. UNLV scored first, 10-7 at the end of the first quarter. That's fine. They don't turn the ball over, which is fine. But how do you lose that bad and not turn and have zero turnovers? They were no bad penalties, 3-30, 50 too many third downs, but they went 50% on third downs. Was it those fourth downs? Bobby Hawk's like, screw it, let's just go for it. He's 2-5 on fourth downs there.
Yeah, I mean, he got to the point where he was going for many fourth downs in the second half.
Yeah, is there any way Air Force can win the Mountain Division title here? I know we got a lot of scenarios here, but they can. Next week's game versus Nevada. Well, they got a tough game. Maybe not. They got Nevada, Aztecs, and Rams, so maybe not.
Really? I mean, we'll get to that.
Maybe 10-2. 10-2, man.
No, I was talking about that. You said Aztecs would be a tough challenge, but
sorry, 2 of the 3. If Aztecs, as a Boise fan, you've lost 2 in a row, so I would be keep cool on that.
What?
Aztecs have beaten your Broncos back to back.
Excuse me. Hold on there for a sec. But in the meantime, yeah, Air Force definitely has the potential to win Mountain Division, go to the Mountain West title game, which would be huge.
They would need help, though.
One thing I could say about this game, though, 386 yards rushing is a lot, and it just looked like UNLV's defense just kind of got worn down because that 55-yarder for Jacoby Owens was not a touchdown. That 53-yarder for Colton Huntsman, his only rush of the day, was not a touchdown.
Nice.
So they could catch up and, like, push out of bounds, but those were...
Or was it the other way around, Air Force, because I got tired of running and the Vegas seat just fell down? We knew the Rebels even
a lot of good, people so. At the game.
How many people were there, did you say?
13,500, about the same as last week, but there was a lot more blue in the stands.
Makes sense. A lot of Air Force people around the country, they'll support their team. All right, let's move on. You're going to love this. The Vandals, Aztecs. That was a close one for a while.
That's what I said. You can't give me any sort of crap about – this game was tied at 21.
It was.
This game was – how – I'm sorry. No, this game was tied at 14 at the half. Sorry. Idaho closed it within 28-21 at the end of the third quarter. How do you even let Idaho I'm having a hard time comprehending.
Well, let me look. It seems odd where Quinn Kaler was reasonably – he was effective, like two-thirds completed of his passes, 2 touchdowns. Pumphrey had 142 yards. Three touchdowns through the air. Statistically, not overly great, but it was a very good game. Throwing the ball, running the ball for San Diego State.
No turnovers. Idaho had the only turnover. So it does seem interesting that this game was this close for so long with no real mistakes by San Diego State or any really big plays by Idaho.
No, you cannot
outside of that 51-yard pass.
Idaho has gotten improved or anything like that. They're sitting at 1-8 with their only win over New Mexico State. That's not improved.
Yeah. Outside of the one big play to make it 28-21, the 51-yard pass, that's all they had. They didn't even crack 200 yards passing. So is this just Aztec stall drive? We got to punt every play, every fourth down?
I mean, you're losing – theoretically, this is a two-touchdown game against a team who – I'm looking this up right now.
Probably one of the – probably bottom five teams in the country.
Oh, easily they're the bottom five teams in the country. Here's a fun stat for you. Idaho's been in Division I football or – 1A, they've been playing for 72 years. Mm-hmm. Their overall record is, and with that game versus San Diego State, that was their 700th game in history.
Okay.
Their overall record is 244 and 440.
Wow.
And 16 ties.
Wow. Hey, I got some good news. Let's lighten the mood here. If we're able to find a way to mount a title game, you and me are both in.
What?
You and me are both going to the Mountain West title game if we can get there.
Hey, you say that, but yes.
No. I got email confirmation. You and myself are able to go.
Oh, wait. Oh.
As if
you and me both?
Yes, I got confirmation now because we're planning and hopefully something works out that we'll go to that title game. We'll have two representatives, me and Chris, we have other things to work out, but we're good to go. So that's step one.
So I'm just gonna put it this way.
Idaho's terrible. Wait, tell me those wins again. Hold on, I'll get my calculator out. How many wins was that?
No, it's a 360 win percentage.
No, that's not what I wanted. So they win about not even three games a year on average.
Yeah. Let's just put it this way. From 1996.
Wait, were they the Big Sky for a long time in football?
From the year 2000, this is Idaho's record. 5-6, 1-10, 2-10, 3-9, 3-9, 2-9. The 1 year under Dennis Erickson in 2006 was 4-8. Then Aiki comes in as coach, 1-11, 2-10, 8-5. That's when they went to the bowl game. 6-7, 2-10, 1-7. Petrino comes in. His first year, he's 1-11, and he's 1-8 this season. I mean, that's just and yet San Diego State can only pull off a 14-point victory.
Like looking at their drive chart, they weren't running the ball. They I know it's either stuff. Again, I only saw a little bit of this game because I was most intrigued by that Boise State-New Mexico game because how crazy it was. And a bit of the – and I assumed it's a blowout. So I was like, well, why watch this game too much? Really pay attention to it. I kept seeing score. Okay. Watched here and there. But here's look at this drive chart. Five plays, punt, 17 yards. Three plays, 5 yards. Three plays, 1 yard. Three plays, and multiple yards. They missed a field goal at the end of the game to make it maybe a better win, 38-21. But, man, they had – I bet that's what they wanted. We got to get some style points here. But they had multiple drives. Like, they had two drives over 10 yards. I mean, 10 drives, two drives over 10 plays. They had a 9-play drive, but outside of that, they couldn't get much done. And it seems odd for them being statistically not great, but percentage-wise, they were 9-14 on third downs. They didn't go for it on fourth down. They just couldn't, whenever it hit third down, those five miscues were pretty bad, and they couldn't get any points on the other times or extend drives. Because you look at the numbers, Pumphrey runs for 142. You see Kaler, efficient but not overly great, but three touchdowns. You figure they had a one, scored 50 points. That's all we got. They almost lost to Idaho, even though they won by 14 points. They did not cover. Wasn't it a 21-point line? Wasn't that what it was?
The spread was 20.5. I figured they were going to cover the spread. It was.
Yeah. All right, let's move on. Next game, is this the game?
This was.
This is not basketball. This is not basketball, folks. 60-49. 60-0.
Well, the way you know it wasn't basketball is New Mexico didn't win this game.
Yeah, that too. This game was ridiculous. And before we start talking about this game, I believe both you and I mentioned that Boise State has had some trouble with reverse New Mexico.
Blocking triple option.
Triple option, but also versus New Mexico, because the first year they played, it was 2 years ago, and Cole Gauch was a true freshman. Boise had a big lead. They stormed. I don't remember what backups were in there, whatever reason, but whatever it was, New Mexico stormed back to make it like a 10-point game or something very close.
No. Boise State was up 28-0 at the half.
Yeah, something big.
New Mexico stormed back. The final score ended up being 20-25.
Yeah, something like that. Very, very close.
It's something about Albuquerque. So basically, Boise State cannot play in high altitudes versus triple option teams.
Their defense looked like they had no clue what was going on in the first half.
Which could have been true.
And there was a lot of jokes on Twitter. It looks like Marcel Yates brought that Texas A&M bad defense with him.
That's the weird thing is Boise's rushing defense has been pretty stout all year. So for them, you know, for them to even give up over 300 yards rushing is
– No. 400 – they give up 400 in the first half.
Yeah, and they gave up 505 total.
Oh, yeah, there we'll get to the reasons behind that a little bit, both Boise's credit and New Mexico doing a few things, but they look lost. There was one play. It was – I don't know why. The linebacker almost got turned around for Boise State. You probably recall this play. Lamar Jordan takes the option up to the – I guess you're watching TV to up far side of the field or the left side on your TV screen, or basically straight up. He goes up. He has the pitch man with him. It looks like it's going to be nothing. The defender looks like he has it covered. He stops at the line. Looks like he's going to do the throwback. Like, so a lot of teams have been doing this throwback. Like, BYU does it. Boise's done it once or twice. Where they'll pass the line and do, like, a pass but backwards. Mm-hmm. He kind of turns like he's going to do that. And for some reason, the Boise defender puts his back to Jordan. He just takes off. I'm like, what are you doing? Do you recall that, what I'm referring to, that play?
Yes, I think so, yeah.
It was just some fake worry. He looked like he had the pitch. He had it covered well. Jordan does, like, turns his shoulder like he's going to throw, and so the Boise defender's like, oh, I'm going to crush the pitch, man. He just goes and takes off. It wasn't a huge game, but it just showed how undisciplined they were too many times in this game.
But when have you ever seen a stat line like this, a score drive? Presley, 75-yard run to start the game.
Untouched. How many these were?
5-yard pass from Hedrick. Just next play, immediately next play. Then you have Ridge Jones, 100-yard kickoff. Terrion Gibson, 49-yard run. Grant Hendrick, 39-yard run. Ridge Jones, 75-yard run. You know.
There's no defense in the first half.
And 36-yard pass. I mean, it's just there was no defense on either side of the ball. That's how you had Boise State end up with 658 yards over New Mexico's.
Yeah. But here's the thing, too. A lot of the thing you could tell this team, Boise's defense wasn't ready. A lot of these long runs, these guys were untouched for New Mexico. Untouched.
There was nobody.
That's ridiculous. And here's the thing. New Mexico's defense, they did okay. They held Boise State to 3 of 11 on third down attempts. So their defense did – in New Mexico, same thing, 5 of 13. Most out of the second half for forcing the pass. But New Mexico made some stops they needed to early on. Like, the only – and their thing is no turnovers, which is shocking in its own right. The only real miscue – was that block punt by New Mexico, Boise State blocked a New Mexico punt that led to a touchdown.
Yeah.
That was the only real miscue in the game by either side.
And I think that was the turning point of the game. It was 4th and 1, and then it was 4th and 1, and I think it was a false start.
Something like that. They were going to go for it, they pushed it back.
Yeah, let me see it. Let me see if I can find the.
And that was also in the second half, right?
Yeah.
Here it is, right here. It was 35-42, New Mexico leading. No, there was no penalty. That was a different time. It was 4th and 4, and a block was punt. Or, yeah, the punt was blocked. And then a couple plays later, Boise scored a touchdown or kicked a field goal. So he didn't even get a touchdown out of it, but that was still New Mexico, again, not coming out of points after stopping Boise State on their opening drive.
Right. So that was really the turnaround for Boise State. Now, the other thing that we haven't gotten to yet, and I guess we might as well get to now, was that 4th and 2 play and the replay that was overturned to give it to New Mexico's to give it to Boise State.
That was, at that point, it was 53-49. And there was, I don't have the exact time frame here, it was about just under 5 minutes left in the game. We have – it was just – here's the thing about the call. The calls, after looking at it a million times, and I saw somebody, I think from Bronco Nation News, took a couple of screen grabs from the TV. His elbow was down, it looked like. However, it did look to me – and you told me this before the show. It looked like there was not enough evidence to overturn the call.
I watched that replay multiple times with the Vine – like that, and it to me as a ref, I would have let that call stand
because it looked like his right foot pushed off for the extra lunge before the ball was down.
And I'm the you know, you guys know me, I'm the one of the biggest Boise State fans around. You know, am I glad that the call was overturned? Of course.
Yeah.
Did I see enough disputable visible evidence right then and there? Not freezing the screen. But, you know, just watching the video over and over? No. Now, with that frozen screen where his elbow went down, okay, yes, I see that.
Well, they can do that. So I wasn't really watching the elbow. But thing is, the TV, I'm kind of going along with the guys on television. They never once mentioned the elbow. So I kind of, okay, I'm going, you kind of, we're seeing the same thing they're seeing. And they're focusing on that right knee when that line, where he got that lunge off.
No, I saw the elbow, but I figured that the elbow
was too close. You have to have indisputable evidence. If it's close, you leave the call as it is.
But whatever it was, the call was overturned. They saw the elbow. They saw where the ball was. Okay, fine. Here's the thing. Yeah, Boise State just gets the ball back. And you've held Boise State, in the second half no less, to 2 field goals. Right?
No, they scored a touchdown at this point because this was in the fourth quarter.
But what I'm saying is Dan Goodale had scored a field goal. Then Dan Goodale had scored another field goal. That could have been 14 points where they only got 6 out of earlier in the game.
Ah, gotcha, yeah.
Your defense has the potential to hold Boise State to field goals. That being said, that could have – you held them to a field goal. That could have been 56-49. New Mexico could have – tried to go back for a touchdown, and it wouldn't have been a 2-score game.
They almost did, but 3rd and 4, they got the touchdown run. It was all Jay Ajayi.
Yeah. Literally, if you look at that whole drive, it was all Jay Ajayi.
49 yards.
Run for 3 yards, run for 13 yards, run for 3 yards, run for 13 yards, run for 13 yards, run for 4 yards, run for 2 yards, 14 yards for a kick. I mean, you see the pattern? It was just, okay, well, since you've been running it up on us, we're just going to run it down your throat and run down as much time as we possibly can.
That was 1/3 of his yards. He had 161 and 49 came on that last drive.
I mean,
it also hurts Dakota Cox, or Cox left the game on that drive. He got injured, had to be replaced. So that doesn't help either.
And he's out for the rest of the season.
Oh, he is for sure. Because that looked like a nasty foot injury, ankle injury.
Yeah. Where was I? Because I saw that on Twitter. But
we'll look for it later. We'll do something about it. But I didn't look. One thing we failed to mention as well, because we're kind of going back and forth, Jarrell Presley, I think the main reason the Boise State ended up winning this game was they did make good adjustments in second half. So they finally started getting the pitch man and getting not allowing those huge gains in second half, because one touchdown for New Mexico in second half. That was it. And losing Jarrell Presley.
I'll even one-up you on this. So, third quarter? There you go. So, looking at New Mexico's drives. Okay, Jordan passed for 21 yards. That was one play over 20 yards.
Probably not many.
So only one play for 20 yards, and that was a Lamar Jordan pass.
Yeah, they.
That was it. That's in the second half.
They made it. Oh, second half, not just the third quarter.
No, just the whole second half.
Okay, and even though the drive was.
Oh, I'm sorry. And a 25-yarder at the end of the game.
Yeah, so not many, and there were passing plays, and part of it is Boise State made plenty of adjustments in the locker room, and then also losing Jarrell Presley. He had 154 yards in the first half on 7 carries and two touchdowns. Had he stayed in the game, I think New Mexico probably could have pulled off because Boise couldn't stop Gibson, Presley, and even when Jordan took the ball,
they managed to stop Gibson in the second half.
No, I know, but not, no, I mean if you had Presley as well.
Oh, if you had Presley,
that's what I mean. Both options, I think New Mexico probably could have pulled it off.
I agree with that. Yeah.
And Boise made adjustments. Unfortunately, the injury, and then Boise had to have New Mexico have multiple third and longs. And while we agree, Lamar Jordan's improving as a passer, they didn't have Carlos Wiggins in this game either, so he wasn't able to catch any passes. But they made Jordan throw more times than Bob Davies comfortable in doing so. Because I believe Jordan started off like completing 5 of his first 6 passes or something like that, something pretty good, ended up going 9 for 16. Ooh. And that was a difference too, forcing third and longs where they can't run the ball on third down. And that's what it came down to, losing the player. Boise State changed the defensive philosophy, and Lamar Jordan still not the – he's a better thrower than Cole Gauci, but he's not a polished passer, in my opinion.
Absolutely.
And Boise escaped with a big win. They needed this win because Colorado State, after our next game, they just kind of took care of business versus Hawaii, and CSU needs help to get to that title game. And there were a lot of Rams fans who were watching this game hoping that New Mexico would be able to pull off the big upset. So one real quick thing. So Boise's schedule, really quick. That was one of our questions. I think we had both questions for the podcast. Will Boise or CSU lose the rest of the way? And
I honestly, I can't say yes or no. I really think no for either.
If you're looking at Boise State, regardless of making fun of San Diego State and them keeping close to Idaho or being held close, they've won the last 2 versus Boise State. This is in the blue turf, and I assume Boise should win. Aztecs will put up a good fight, but they'll probably win. At Wyoming, things have happened, but Boise should win. It's that Utah State game. The only game I'd give a realistic chance of Boise losing is that final game versus Utah State.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, yes, I know Boise State has lost 2 straight versus San Diego State, but this game's at home, and San Diego State has had their own problems to deal with.
Unless Pumphrey goes for, like, 250 on the ground.
Even if Pumphrey goes for 250 on the ground, he's not part of a triple option offense.
He's not.
Unless Bob Toledo learns the triple option that sometime this week.
Him and – yeah, probably not. Chase Price, him and Chase Price doing the option. Shake Ruffin at quarterback to run that.
Yeah.
All right, next game, Rams over Hawaii, 49-22, blowout game. Close for a little while. For a little while, let's give them that.
Brian, what was 14-5?
14-5, yeah. 7-5, yes. And Grayson had a great game. 278, 4 touchdowns. DeHart, 100-plus yards. No Rashard Higgins, which we both pointed out would be the right decision to make. Rest him. And
by the way, Joey Yosefa made his way back in this game. He's off suspension.
Oh, he's back. He threw a pass. One for one, 19 yards.
And 19 carries for 64 yards. I Keiko Woolsey's bad.
Yeah. But I was saying, since Higgins was out, Lovett had 4 for 134 and a touchdown. Oh, man. Hawaii, at least Hawaii scored a touchdown. Hey, did you see there was a Scott Harding pass? Or a reception, I mean? He got a touchdown?
I did, yes. One of the rare Scott Harding receptions.
Yeah, not this game.
As if it's not enough that he returns punts and he punts balls. He also receives balls. You know, he's also a wide receiver. Scott Harding has to win some sort of award this year.
We need to make up an award. Out of the 6 for 63 this game, his third touchdown. He catches
He's like the most valuable player.
No, I'd go most versatile player. Valuable means you have value to your team, which he does, but they're not winning enough games to consider him for me to consider him a valuable player.
A team MVP? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, team MVP. Yeah, okay. Yeah, okay. Sorry. Yeah, most consistent player. He shows up every week. The best participant.
Founders Award.
There you go. Anything to add? Rams win. Not a big deal. They take care of business. They're ranked. First time since 2003.
Yeah.
So, real quick, because we're gonna wrap this up soon because I got to get going momentarily, but same question. They play New Mexico and at Air Force.
I no.
No?
No.
Not a chance? Not a chance?
I don't think there's – no. Man. You know what your next toilet bowl game is going to be?
What is that?
It's going to be UNLV at Hawaii, I think.
Interesting. So do you think Rams will finish this regular season 11-2 – or, excuse me, 11-1 and waiting?
I think there's a good chance.
I love the scheduling by the Mountain West for once. Sometimes the scheduling's weird. Air Force plays I can't speak today. I'm looking at three different teams on here. Air Force plays Colorado State at 3:30 Eastern, and that Utah State-Boise State game's a night game. So we will know, all the Rams fans will be watching that game at night when Utah State's in Boise, Idaho.
Okay, can I say something about that?
What?
I feel like the last game of the season, it should be like the Premier League.
True.
Especially
or like the World Cup.
And stuff like that.
World Cup does that too.
Are on the line. They have to start the games at the same time so they can't score watch.
But here's the thing. I get your point, but the Rams have to win. It's not like it's a point differential or it's a common opponent. Well, this obviously it's a common opponent, but it would be – I like it this way because Rams win, they know what to expect. Boise State knows they must win.
Yeah, no, I get that.
And with the big money bowl game on the – because here's the thing. Because this game has more implications because if, say, Air Force beats Colorado State, which is conceivable. Air Force is a very good team. Then Utah State has something to play for as well. And really something to play for to get to the Mountain West title game and, who knows, maybe a big money bowl game. But I like having to watch these games. I'd rather watch them concurrently or, like, one game after another than simultaneously.
Yeah, that's where I do like being able to watch all the games so we can talk about them later and really see, you know, what is on the line for all these teams.
Because I made a mistake. I looked at the wrong week. That game is still to be determined. I apologize. I thought that game was already set for an ESPN. I assume it's going to be on ESPN because the Boise State's already have their lone not home game that's a non-ESPN broadcast. So is there any – okay. This is way out there, but is there any chance if Utah State wins out, Boise wins out, they'll bring game day for that game? Probably not.
That's week 14?
November 29th.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now.
Schedule real quick. Because Utah State, possibly ranked. Probably not, but.
College game day, so no, it's Egg Bowl.
Oh, okay. Back to the SEC.
It's Egg Bowl. It's Iron Bowl. It's Civil War.
Civil War's not going to happen.
Florida. It's Kansas State. I mean, it's rivalry. I mean, there's too many rivals.
Looking at the top 25.
Georgia Tech, Georgia. No. Or the good old-fashioned hate. Both of those teams are ranked.
Yeah. Auburn, Alabama would probably be where it's at, assuming both are winning out. So, never mind. Just a thought.
No, because Auburn lost last weekend.
No, but even the rankings right now, it's 3-5. Oh, maybe unless ESPN's using the okay.
You have the wrong rankings, my friend.
Well, I'm looking at the schedule, and they're going off the College Football Playoff rankings since they own it, so.
Which haven't come out yet. Right now, Alabama's 4, Auburn's 9.
Okay, still 2 top 10 teams. Okay, that's not going to happen. So, let's get to the final game really quick, and we'll give our off prediction. I guess since we do it normally.
Did we answer your questions?
That's all we didn't have. We just had the Boise or CSU. What's the odds of them either losing one of the final games? something simple this week. So San Jose State lost to Fresno. How that is that a th- that really happened? Am I correct on that?
Yes.
What is up with – I don't know what to make of Fresno State. They're going to a bowl game most likely now, and they went back to good old Brian Burrell.
Who do they have left?
They're 4-6. They
got someone out.
They got Nevada.
Nevada next week.
I rescind my comment for that. Sorry. Retraction. Retraction. They went back to Brian Burrell, started the – this is – I want to look this up, but I don't have time at the moment because we need to wrap this up. But how many games – is this the first game Fresno with the one quarterback the whole game? We can look later, but – I mean, I'll even give a pass if there's a halfback pass by Martez Wall or something.
No. Brian Burrell was the only quarterback.
I mean in a prior game. I will even give a pat. I will say that doesn't count if there's a wide receiver or a halfback or defensive back.
No. They've always – I swear every single game this week they use two quarterbacks.
Yeah. And they won the game. That second quarter, San Jose State couldn't do anything. Got scored 21 points. They're up 28-14 at the half. And the defense showed up for Fresno, forced three turnovers. The running game, which we wanted all year, Martez Waller and Josh Quezada had 267 and a touchdown, which would be the case. They're playing the Spartans rush defense, right?
Hey, there is no Spartans rush defense. We've already established.
Well, technically, you have rush defenders on the field.
Is that there were technically, defenders on the field for Boise State as well.
Yeah.
Only one of those teams, though, is flat out is not known for having a rush defense.
Yeah, Fresno also had a punt return for a touchdown. They had a special teams play. They had an overall good game. Quarterback 20-26. Spartans just that second quarter just did them in. Second quarter started the third quarter, 28 straight points, and that was the ball game. Joe Gray, 350, great, but you can't get picked off two times. Can't happen.
No.
And in that quarter, here's the second quarter play chart. They had negative quarter. They had only five drives in the second. That's a lot of drives. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 drives in the second quarter. The first four accounted for minus 4 yards. And then on their last drive, they went 8 plays for 40 yards and turned it over on downs. So that second quarter was not kind to the Spartans' offense.
That's
because they had to go for it 4th and 4 on the 35. They don't have a kicker that can make a 52-yarder, and is incomplete pass. Here's the thing that's crazy: they had 1st and 10. They had chance to score points. They had 1st and 10 because had San Jose State scored at the half, even a field goal, possibly a different game. They completed the one pass, so they had 2nd and 4. 3rd and 4 and 4th and 4, 3 straight incomplete passes. And that was a big turning point in the game. And, yeah, running game, Tyler Irvin did okay, had that 51-yarder, but that's really about it. Outside of that, Fresno's defense showed up for once.
Yeah, there is
anything else we need to add about this turn of events for Fresno State?
They could make a bowl game, couldn't they? They really can make a bowl game.
If they win,
if this team comes out and plays against Nevada, if this same team comes out and plays against Nevada, they actually have a shot at making a bowl game.
It's at Nevada, and isn't this some sort of – is there a trophy involved in this game, old WAC rivals?
There's a rivalry.
I know it's a rivalry because two teams have been pretty good, but it's in 2 weeks, so we have some time, but – Fresno needs to win these final two games to go bowling. They'll beat Hawaii, but they need to do something against Nevada. All right, so that's anything else you want to add to this game? Because I think we pretty much did. Fresno played a complete game for the first time all year, which is about time, right?
Right, exactly.
So do we want to discuss our playoff picks since everybody else does it all the time?
Yeah. I'm still on the same four that I've been the last 3 weeks.
Who was that again?
Florida State, Mississippi State. So Mississippi won, or Mississippi State won, Florida State 2, Oregon 3, TCU 4. But now, see, Baylor holds that tiebreaker over TCU.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I'm pretty sure you saw this where this
and, we just got Twitter confirmation, at least from Aggie Up. The left tackle, LT Filiaga.
Mm-hmm.
Right, linebacker, LT Filiaga is officially done for the season. That's so the Aggies have lost another linebacker.
They'll be okay. I think they'll be okay.
They've got a very, very deep linebacking core.
Sure. And here's the thing about TCU Baylor. See the Big 12, even because they will be – because in round robin, they'll be co-champions, even though they probably could break the tie. This seems odd to me. Is like, well, the Big 12 will submit Baylor as the title winner, which seems redundant and ridiculous because, yes, I know there's head-to-head, but Baylor lost another game to somebody else. Give them co-champs, and that's not going to give Baylor an edge because even though the committee said, oh, we'll want a conference champion to be in, that's included in the criteria. That's like, oh, you want a conference title? They'll give a little more weight to it. In that case, why not just do head-to-head? Who cares who they submit as their playoff conference champion? That just seems dumb.
No, exactly.
Because they saw the game, they're head-to-head. I'm pretty much in agreement with you. I would say I'm going to – looking forward helps a bit because Mississippi State plays Mississippi. Alabama plays Auburn. Title game. I'm going with one – I'm assuming Mississippi State will take care of business. Mississippi State, Florida State, Oregon, TCU are my teams. However, here's how it's going to play out. It's going to be – the Pac-12 champion, whether it be Oregon or Arizona State with one loss, they're in for sure. The Big 12 champion with one loss, whether it's TCU or Baylor, they'll be in. And then you got Florida State. If they went out, they're in pecking order. And then one SEC team, and that's either going to be Alabama or Mississippi State. And that's pretty much, assuming chaos, that's likely an Ohio State. Sorry, but you're probably not getting in unless Ohio State – here's the thing. Ohio State will probably be close because – or Arizona State, Oregon loser will drop behind them. Alabama or Mississippi State, if they lose, they'll be behind them. They'll be close, but I don't see a Big Ten team. They'll be at one team from each conference, ACC, SEC, Big 12, and Pac-12. Is that good enough for you?
I think so.
Do we have any thoughts on Marshall, ECU, anything along those lines? Since they – Marshall crushed Southern –
Stop pressing the mute button.
I don't know what happened. I'm not even on that page. That's weird. I get a ding like 5 seconds later. I apologize. What I was saying, Marshall, ECU, our group of five brethren, what do you see? Any change of prediction? Or
no. I think Mountain West still holds advantage.
Even over undefeated Marshall?
Yeah, I just
13-0. If they
I'm really not sure Marshall's going to be undefeated. I'll be honest.
Rice has won six. I put Rice in my top poll this week. They've won six in a row.
Rice is sitting at.
I think they're 7-2 right now.
Yeah, they're sitting at 6-3 right now.
6-3, and they've won. I think, or maybe they've won five in a row. They're on a hot streak. No, they've won six in a row. They lost two.
Yeah, they started off 0-3, and then they're. Very quickly became 6-3.
And this will be a game to watch next week. They traveled to West Virginia to play Marshall.
I mean, Marshall's schedule's garbage. But I mean, Marshall, okay, you're sitting at – you have to play Rice, and then most likely you're either going to play Louisiana Tech or Rice again in the conference championship game.
Yeah.
Unless – well, no, Marshall holds head-to-head over Middle Tennessee State.
Yeah,
but I was about to say because Middle Tennessee State is sitting at is sitting right behind Marshall at 4-1 in the conference.
Yeah, but Marshall's going to beat Western Kentucky, and isn't it UAB the other team they play?
Yeah,
yeah, they'll take care of business because UAB been on the football team in 2 years. So it comes down to that East Carolina. You think East Carolina has any chance to get back in the discussion?
I don't know. I think
No, Virginia Tech. What helped Colorado State? Boston College beat Virginia Tech, so that'll help as well. If the Rams
somehow are able to get into the conference title game and win.
That's what I'm saying. Like, ECU's schedule is becoming less and less and less impressive, especially since South Carolina, you know, losing to South Carolina and losing to Temple and losing to these other teams is not really helping your cause. And then throw in the fact that Marshall's schedule is – look, Marshall's schedule right now, Marshall's best win is – Marshall's best win so far this season has been a 5-4 Middle Tennessee State.
Yeah, and they got beat by a BYU team that's beat up last week and gave up in that game.
Yeah.
Yeah, North Carolina's sitting at 4-5 right now.
So
Virginia Tech is 4-5 right now. So East Carolina, do they even have a win? I know winning record's a big deal, and it should count. I just don't think equally. Is South Carolina the only team they beat who has a winning record right now?
Is
South Carolina have a winning record? No, South Carolina, they lost. They don't have a. They lost them. They don't have a win over a team with a winning record.
That's a.
Wow. Hold on. I want to check this real quick. South Carolina – or South Florida and Connecticut, because Central doesn't count. Virginia Tech's 4-5. North Carolina's 4-5. SMU's terrible. Hold on. I do want to check this now. South Florida's 2-4. Connecticut is 1-6. They do not have a win over a team who has a winning record.
Nope.
They are
– It's about as bad as Marshall.
They are out. They're done.
They're done.
I don't want to say officially done, but somebody has to take the spot. But I guess they would be default somehow. Heck, no, I'm going to go back and say if Nevada or Utah State can win the Mountain West, they would be in over East Carolina and a one-loss Marshall team.
Let's not forget about Georgia Southern.
They're not eligible unless there's not enough teams in there, and they're not going to get in, unfortunately.
Yeah, but there's a good possibility that
default
it could be ranked.
True. I just think in their situation, they're not going to be considered, which is bad because they are going to win the Sun Belt going away. They could be sitting at 11-10-2 and not be going to the bowl game. But there is we need to wrap this up really quick, but there's a few things mentioned. There's a rush to get to bowl games for enough eligible teams, but that's always the case every year. And I hope they get to a bowl game, and I still think a Mountain West champion, Nevada, or three-loss Nevada or Utah State team, they'll get in over Georgia Southern at 2 losses. I'm not trying to be a homer. I don't think I'm being overly homer because Utah State, if they're going to beat a ranked Colorado – or they lost to them, but they lost to a ranked Colorado State team. If they can beat Boise State and beat a surging Nevada team that's 9-3, I don't know. They got plenty – I think that's the case. They'll be fine. Do you think I'm being just a homer, or do you think that's realistically possible happening?
I think if the winner comes from the West, I think it's not possible. But I think if it comes from the Mountain, it's not just possible. It's going to happen.
I still think Marshall needs a loss for a Mountain West to get in, but we'll see.
Okay.
All right, so that wraps up our show today. MWCConnection.com. This will be out sometime Monday. I have to go run some errands, so I'll get on this quickly. But T-shirts. Buy some T-shirts. That'd be nice. We have male and lady T-shirts, female T-shirts.
Lady V-necks.
Yes, we do. Classy. I don't know. Trying to spice this up. No, yeah, check them out. Again, if you have any design that gets approved, you'll get a free shirt. And, yeah, check us out, MWCConnection.com. We have our basketball starting end of the week, which is crazy. Check us out for our preview show on this week sometime. We got some big games coming up because, hey, we want all the Mountain West teams to win to get to the Fiesta Bowl, right?
Yes.
That's the case, so thanks
but
for listening.
Make sure that we are biased against people.
Yeah, I was about to say. Chris says it. We're biased. And again, we are for and against every team in the league.